be acceptable to you. Have you ever loved somebody? If you ever loved anybody in this life, you know that that choice to love, and some would say it's not a choice, but it really is. Because if you really, really genuinely love somebody, you're going to choose to love them despite circumstances, despite surrounding things that happen in life. You're going to love them through those things. And that's real love. But love has been defined in all sorts of ways by our society. And love has been watered down. And has been watered down so much that we don't even really know what love actually is anymore. And because we don't know what love is anymore, it's hard to genuinely love people. But there's something that makes that different. There's a love that makes all that different. And we're going to talk about that love a little bit this morning. I had about 25 different ways I was going to go with this message. And we're going to incorporate all 25 in one service. Excited about that? So as we pick apart the scriptures, we'll get into some dialogue. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 5, and it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children, his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. You hear that? Yeah. So how do we know we love God? We love because we love God and we carry out his commands. We don't just talk about it, we actually live it. And we live it in such a way that we are different from the world we live in. And we're going to get into that a little bit. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Did you hear that one? His commands are not burdensome. A lot of times when we think of commands, we think, oh man, I gotta go by that, this, and do that, and not do this, and do that, and then don't, and we get caught up in that. But God's commands aren't burdensome, because what happens when we're following after God, the Spirit's leading us, what we do is we move progressively forward toward love, and as we progress toward love, we discover a more deep sense of truth, and as we discover a deeper truth, we discover a deeper love, and then these commandments that the scriptures talk about are fulfilled because our lives are being lived in a way in which we honor God. You get what I'm saying there? For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Okay, so the most vital element here is the faith aspect. If we don't have faith, then we cannot overcome the world. But if we have faith and trust in God and hope in God, then we have overcome the world. We are overcomers. We are living in the world, but we're not living of the world. We're not being conformed to the pattern of the world. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And there's this major conforming that happens, and a lot of times it has to do with the deception that the world throws at us. Have you ever been deceived into thinking that something in the world is good, and it feels good and it's pleasurable, but then in the end, it does not turn out good at all? You know, we discover that it's not good. What seemed good is actually not good. And what seemed fulfilling actually is not fulfilling. Verse 6, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by blood, by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God. Have you ever see, maybe watched one of those judge shows. There's so many of them on TV now. It used to be just the People's Court. And I remember sitting with my grandfather watching it once in a while when it was on. But have you ever in your life just taken someone's testimony to be true? Just taken it to be true. And then maybe it wasn't true at all. You were deceived, right? So we embrace other people's testimony, but it says here, it says that God's testimony, right? For there are three types. And then we accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God. So we accept man's testimony quite frequently, but then God testifies, and we don't accept God because we say, you know what, my human intellect, my human mind can understand what I'm supposed to do and where I'm supposed to go and who I'm supposed to be. So I don't need a God because I am my own God. And maybe we don't say that verbally, but we say that in our minds, and we embrace the reality of that rather than embracing the reality of a God who has come and his blood and water and spirit. There's three: blood, water, and spirit. Blood is the remembrance and communion in the Eucharist with the blood and body of Christ. Now, you've got the water. Did you know when he was pierced in his side, blood and water flowed out of his side? Did you know that? So, blood and water and the spirit. You see, when he died, the temple curtain was ripped. It was ripped and torn at the Holy of Holies. So now, we might enter and be with God. We may connect deeply and richly with God. So, this blood and water that flowed from his side, It was blood and water that flowed for us. I don't know if you heard that. The blood and water, when he was pierced for us. He was pierced for us. And that blood and water that flowed from his side. Now the Roman soldiers, all they knew when they pierced the side of someone, they knew when someone was dead. They had a lot of practice. And they jabbed him with a spear. They saw the blood and water, and they knew he was done. He was dead. But it didn't stop there. He died for you and for me. And that blood flowed, and that water flowed, and he didn't end it there. He rose. And when he rose, he spent 40 days with his disciples and walked among them and taught and shared and allowed their minds to be get deeper and grow richer and understand truth more greatly. And then he ascended. And when he ascended, he said, before he did, he said, I will send one that will lead you to deeper truth than even these. And you'd be able to do even more than what you've seen. And that is the Spirit. So the Spirit, the blood, the water, the Spirit. So those three things, those three elements are critical. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. Basically, what we're saying, this is gonna sting. What we're saying when we don't trust and follow God, we're saying God is a liar. Uh-oh. Not many people said anything there, did they? Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So, if we don't have the Son, if we have not embraced the Son who is Jesus, if we have not embraced him, we do not have life. We only carry death. And everybody in here knows that we do not live forever in this life, right? We will die. But the death this is talking about is a spiritual death. There is a death, and that is worse than physical death. When we don't know God personally and intimately, what happens is we're basically calling God a liar. We're saying, I don't believe in you, God, because I don't believe what you did is true. I don't believe that you are a real, true God, and you are a liar. That's not easy to hear, is it? Because some of us may walk around pretending we're a believer, and others of us may walk around and just talk and act like somebody that cares, but we don't really know God. And we've got to ask ourselves, have we truly embraced God? Or have I pretended to embrace God, and I basically call God a liar because I don't believe him day after day and day. And I challenge, God, are you really there? Are you really present? Are you really moving? I don't sense your presence. But it's not about what we sense, it's about who God is. You get the difference? God is who he says he is. God is not a liar, he is truth. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if he is the way, ready? But he's the truth. And he speaks truth. He does not speak lies. Satan is the father of lies. He is the deceiver. Listen to what 13 says. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's what he writes us for. So the people in this church may know that we have eternal life. You see, we may be flip-flop, and maybe you've asked to become a believer. You like prayed the sinner's prayer 70 times in your life. Why? If you pray to receive Christ and you know you received Christ, then embrace that, believe it, and know that God has saved you for eternity, and you are a new creation. We need to believe that. We can't keep praying the sinner's prayer when we fall short. What we need to do is we just got to call out to God personally in repentance and say, oh God, here I am. I am a sinner, but I need to turn to you and embrace you and follow after you wholeheartedly. My life is not my own. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Did you hear that? When we are following after God, if we ask anything according to his will, what does he do? He hears us. Do you believe that God hears you? You may be sitting here today, and you may not believe that God hears you anytime you pray. You may say, I don't know where God is. I don't know when he's going to show up. I don't know why he hasn't shown up. I'm confused. I pray and I call out to him. And I say, God, help me. And Lord, I need your help. I need you, God. And I don't know where you are. Lord, please, this situation in my life is too much. I can't deal with it anymore. The circumstances in my life are too heavy. Lord, please take some of this from me. And people may come alongside you and wrongly say this, God will never give you more than you can handle. Liar. Don't you want to go, do you have any idea what I'm going through? Right? Yeah. God is going to give us more than we can handle, so we lean into him. Yeah. So we trust him. So we say, okay, God, you are truth. I'm going to believe you even for this. Even for this very difficult, hard, challenging stuff. I am going to believe you, God. I am going to trust you, God. I am going to follow you despite any surrounding circumstances of my life. It's all about you, God. Amen. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin, all right, we're getting hard. This is going to be hard for us. Are you ready for this? Whoa, 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 here we go. In 16, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. You're wondering what that is, aren't you? Is that a question you have? What does that even mean? Sin that leads to death. If it is a sin that leads to death. All right. Ananias and Sapphira. You know who they are in the scriptures in the book of Acts?
Yes.
Ananias comes and talks about how he sold his property. His property was sold. And he sinned against the Holy Spirit because he lied. And he said, oh, this is all that I made when I sold my property. And then he dies and is carried off. Then his wife comes in, Sapphira, she comes in, and she says the same thing. And just as your husband just left and was carried away, you will too. Boom, she drops dead and gets carried out. Freaky, right? There's another case in the scriptures where, I don't know if I want to talk about this. We have some young ears in here.
Get up.
No. There's a place in the scriptures where a man was too... I'm not even going to talk about that one. We're going to skip over that one. We're going to go to another one. There's another place where the people were defiling communion. And some were dying. Do you know that? They were partaking of communion in an unworthy manner. And they were dropping dead. They did all sorts of horrible things before they partook of the Lord's Supper. I can go on about a few other things. The blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. You may wonder what blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's, you know who Pharaoh is in the scriptures? He denied God over and hardened. Ultimately, his heart was hardened. And his heart was so hard that he continued, even though plague after plague after plague came, he continued to torment and torture and enslave the Israelites. And even after he said, fine, you may now go after his son dies from a plague, he continues to pursue them because his heart was so hard. May we have soft hearts that are open to God and his purpose. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin. Do you hear that? All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. All right. Anyone born of God does not continue to sin. And everyone sitting here, I guarantee every single person in here, including myself, will say, I am still a sinner. Am I not following God? Right? Well, it's like this. We are sinners saved by grace. The key is when we recognize that there's sin in our life, we need to repent and turn to God. Repent means turn and run. Go the complete opposite direction from where you're going so you will follow God more wholeheartedly. So it's like, have you ever looked in the mirror and you saw something you didn't like? Well, I don't mean like that, but I mean like, you saw maybe something on your face. You saw something on your face, and you had to do something to take care of it. Maybe a zit. Pop, right? Maybe you had a pimple on your face, and you popped it, and you're like, oh, that's a little better. And then, right? Sometimes there's stuff that isn't too pleasing, and eventually time may remove it, eventually maybe it gets worse. Right? Sin is like that. Sin is like that. It corrupts. It continues to fester. If someone has a cancerous growth on their body, and maybe it's just a little, some basal skin cancer or something like that, if it's not removed, what happens is it continues to grow and fester, right? One of the speakers that was speaking at the conference we were just at, she speaks for a living. She had cancer right in her throat. And she got it removed. And the doctor said, don't speak for this amount of time. And guess what? She was able to go back and speak soon after her surgery. A lot sooner than the doctors thought she could. So God can do amazing things, but sin can do horrible things. Sin can ruin us. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe. So, this is going to be a difficult one to hear. Pay very careful attention to what is read right here. And the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Have you ever read that? You've read that? Some of us have, some of us haven't. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. How do you feel now? Is that freaky? You may have read that before, and you may have never really thought of it. You may have never read that, and you may say, I can't believe that's in the Bible. Isn't God in control of the whole world? Isn't he, you know, isn't he omnipotent, all-powerful? Isn't he omniscient, all-knowing? Isn't he omnipresent? Isn't he present everywhere? Well, how is Satan in control? How does that even make sense? Well, when sin entered the world, God didn't leave the world, but the prince of darkness, the prince of darkness has now overtaken the world, and we easily can see that in the direction in which our society is going and has gone ever since, right? We know that anyone born of God, if you are born of God, you are not under the control of the enemy. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Boom! That is the scripture. Notice how it ends. Keep yourselves from idols.
Amen.
Yeah. Satan may be in the world and moving and doing things and manipulating situations and causing martyrdom and all sorts of craziness. But God is greater than the evil. God is greater than the enemy and more powerful. And we have nothing to fear, because just like Psalm 23 says, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, fear no one, for God is with me. His rod and staff, they comfort me. And if we fear, then we are not trusting God. If you are a fear-filled person, you and I, we need to trust God more. We cannot live in fear and anxiety. We need to live in hope and joy. We don't want to look, the devil's on my shoulder and the angel's on it. No, that's not how it is. If you are a child of God, God has you. God loves you. He is surrounding you with hundreds of thousands of angels. He is the God of angel armies. He is the God that will protect you, he will guide you, he will lead you, and he will give you peace and rest when you don't know how, but you have it. When next time you feel a sense of anxiety or fear, call out to God and say, no. Enemy, evil one, you're not going to take a stronghold here. God, I call down your spirit upon me in power. Fill me to overflow. When was the last time you did that when you were fearful or anxious? Imagine if we lived our lives like this. When we found ourselves in a situation, the first thing we do is pray. What if that were what we did? What if we did that? How different would our life be? The last thing there. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. I think we need to ask ourselves this question. What idols do we have in our life? And how do we keep ourselves from them? What is your idol? Because whatever your idol is, it's keeping you from an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-righteous, all-beautiful God that has so much in store for your life. May we be a people that are surrendered to a God that loves us and committed to love others as God first loved us. Amen. Father, we come to you and we ask, O God, that we would truly be lovers of you. That your love would overflow so much in us that the desire to sin, the desire to move in a direction contrary to you, God, would be far from any thoughts we have. God, may the desire to be holy overwhelm us every day of our lives. God, allow us to pursue holiness. Allow us to be truly set apart and live in this world, but not of it. Allow us to be a people that are truly called out for noble purposes. Lord, we only live here for a short time. And we're not even guaranteed tomorrow, God. May we live and worship you every single day that we walk this earth. And may our light shine before men.